Welcome or welcome back to Purpose Church. My name is Eric, and our prayer is that today's message helps you connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God. Whatever your next step is with Jesus, we are here to walk with you because we love you, and most importantly, God loves you. We hope to see you in person, on social media, or at purposechurch.com. Now let's open our Bibles and see what God has for us.
Well, good morning, Purpose Church. I am Tamiko, and I get to serve as the family pastor here. And I just love you all so much, and I really love serving Jesus here. And so it's truly an honor to get to open up God's word today and be able to share what the Lord has put on my heart. But before we get started, I wanted to share with you something funny that happened the last time that I preached. So it was in February, and on the Friday before I preached, I found myself experiencing excruciating pain, and my husband rushed me to the ER, and we had kind of self-diagnosed on Google what it was, but it was kidney stones. And so I found myself in the ER with kidney stones on the Friday before I was supposed to preach. And so the doctor came in, and he was an amazing doctor, and he said, you know, I think it actually is kidney stones, but I'm going to run a bunch of tests, and so we won't know until the test results come back in. So there's nothing you can do really until then. So just kind of hang tight. And so as he's walking out, I don't know how it happened, but he and my husband start having this conversation about USC football. And if you know my husband, he's an SC alumni. He can talk about USC football for a really long time. And apparently so could the doctor. And so they're having this whole conversation about four-star recruits and zone defense. And I am on a gurney in a fetal position, experiencing the worst pain of my life. And all I keep thinking is, I'm supposed to preach in 48 hours. Like, this cannot be happening. But praise God, everything worked out okay. I was able to preach on that Sunday. But this whole week, all I kept thinking was, Lord, please. I am so excited to preach, but please, no ER visits this week. And praise God, everything was fine this week, and I'm here today. So, it's good to be with you guys. Well, before we get into the message, I want to invite Pastor Victoria up here, and she is our kids pastor, and we are really excited about some new things that are going on in kids ministry. And so, Pastor Victoria, can you tell us about some changes happening and what's going on in kids?
Yes. Hi, good morning. Good morning, everyone. We are really excited because just a month ago, our kids ministry launched Bright Curriculum, and it is such an answer to prayer. There are some amazing things about this curriculum. So first, we love how biblically sound the curriculum is and how the kids are able to grasp the lessons that they're learning on Sundays. And then we loved that there were volunteer resources and trainings built into the curriculum so that our leaders in their time of preparation could really sit in God's word and see how the message applies to them and to their lives as well. And that's important for our volunteers. But then one of my favorite things that this curriculum comes along with is family discipleship resources. And so we have quite a few family discipleship resources, and they're all meant to equip and engage us as families to go home and talk with our kids about the lessons that they learn each Sunday. And we believe here at Purpose that a lot of our family discipleship to Christ happens within the home, Monday to Sunday. And so when we disciple our children and when we talk about the love of God and about his truth, they are more likely to have a resilient and sticky faith.
That's awesome. I'm so excited, Tori. And tell us where we can, as parents and caregivers and grandparents, tell us about the resources, where we can find them.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have three great resources. The first is that any of our kids who are age 4 to 5th grade will receive a take-home page, and that has a great activity that your kids can do during quiet time during the week, and they can fill that out, and then you can put it on the fridge, and it's a good reminder of Sunday's lesson. And so every child will receive that on Sundays. Then we have our weekly email, and our weekly email will contain all of the content that we talked about on Sunday with your kids. So we'll send that out actually on Sunday morning. Shout out to Mr. Memo for that idea, so that you guys can have those conversations in the car with your kids on the ride home, or that Sunday right after the lesson, because we know our little kiddos' memories aren't that strong yet. And then lastly, we have our calendar. And so this calendar is available at the Connect Center in F100. And we also have them posted in front of all of the classrooms. Now, the cool thing is that all of our kids, all of them, nursery babies all the way to fifth grade in our Champions Ministry, are all learning the same lesson each week. And each month, actually, it's all the same theme. And so you'll see the calendar has days marked out where you can do discipleship activities at home with your family. And all these activities will relate to each of your child's lesson, which is so awesome. So we're really excited about this and just grateful that God has provided this resource for us.
That's so great. And Tori, you've talked about having conversations with your kids. And tell me about having faith conversations with your kids. Like, that can be challenging and hard as a parent.
Absolutely. And I think for me personally, I sometimes think that my kids' conversations about the Lord and our interactions is meant to happen passively, and they're supposed to come to me with their questions about their faith. But actually, the word and the scripture tells us to train up our child in the way that they should go, and that train is an action. And so for me, the hardest part that I've noticed is when we have those faith conversations, because sometimes I don't initiate, they can become a little awkward because I don't know the answers to all of the questions that they might have, or I just might not understand how to go about approaching that with them. And so we believe, and I believe, that if we have more frequent conversations with our kids, that maybe a little bit of uncomfortableness that can come and surround those conversations will start to dissipate, especially because we're doing it so frequently with our kids.
That's so encouraging. Thank you, Tori. Last question I have for you. If you could encourage us as parents and caregivers and grandparents to do one thing this week with the new resources, what would it be?
Yeah, so this is a picture of little Ilias, and he is so adorable. Everyone say, aw.
Aw.
Yeah, he's so adorable. He is planning out his month of September discipleship with his mom. And so let's take his leadership, and let's, as a church family, sit down with our kids and look and see what activity can we implement this week. Just start with one. They're meant to be about 5 minutes each, and the Friday and Saturday one is specifically like a fun activity. So this coming Friday and Saturday is Trust Falls.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That sounds
really
fun.
If you want to practice,
you can. I would love to practice with you. I don't know about with my boys, but can we thank Pastor Victoria? We love you so much, Tori. Our kids are so blessed to have you shepherding them. And then ladies, you heard in the video announcements, our women's event, She is Radiant, is coming up. So please register for that. And we have a really fun invitation gift that you can take today. We want you to use this to invite a friend, a sister, to come with you. And there's a fun gift in there. Those are available for free for you guys at the Connect Center after the service. Okay, well, let's dive in. We are in the last week of our series, Return to Me. We have been in the book of Jeremiah all summer. We've gone from chapter 1 through chapter 51, and here we are at chapter 52, which is the last chapter in the book of Jeremiah. And we have been talking about how this word shuv, which means return, shuv in the Hebrew, it's here in the graphic, has been used repeatedly throughout Jeremiah, and it's really the heartbeat of the book. God is saying to his people, return to me. Judah, come back to me. And so chapter 52 is interesting because it's actually a summary of the fall of Jerusalem. So some of this will actually be maybe familiar to you if you've been here for other parts of the series. If this is your first time here, you're jumping in at the end of the series, but you kind of get a summary of the book of Jeremiah. So I'm just going to recap the story and then pick up in Jeremiah chapter 52. So to recap, Judah has turned away from God. And God calls the prophet Jeremiah to be his voice, to go to them and to call them back to him. You see, Judah had been worshiping idols. They had made alignments with other nations that worshiped false gods. They had committed injustices against one another. And they had abandoned their covenant relationship with God. And God could have simply walked away, but he didn't. He sends Jeremiah to keep going back to them, to warn them, return to me, shuv, return to me. But Judah doesn't want to hear it. Jeremiah warns them that Babylon is coming, that they are going to be captured by Babylon, that they're going to go into exile, and that the only way to be saved is actually to submit to the Babylonian Empire. But the religious leaders oppose Jeremiah, false prophets come along, and they say, oh, it's going to be fine, it's just going to be a little bit of time, and the people believe what they want to hear. And God continues to warn them, about judgment, and they will be taken into exile. And he tells them that he hasn't forgotten them. In the midst of all of this, in the midst of the foretelling of judgment coming, God also gives them a sign that he hasn't forgotten them. And Jeremiah 29:11, this is a very familiar verse maybe to many of us. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And God actually promises restoration, that he's going to bring his people back, that he's going to forgive them, and he's going to create a new covenant, a new relationship with them. And in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, we read, this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. So even in the middle of judgment, God is saying, return to me. But the people continue to refuse, and eventually the warnings become a reality. Jerusalem falls, the temple is destroyed, and the people are taken into exile. Now Judah's destruction happened because of persistent, willful sin, and because they continually rejected Jeremiah's messages and warnings. Judah had forgotten what God had done for them. God had set them apart. He'd established them as a nation. He delivered them from slavery in Egypt, but they forgot God's faithfulness. One of the things we have seen throughout this book is that Judah had developed what Bible scholar Dr. Nicole Martin calls systematic spiritual amnesia. They just kept forgetting what God had done for them. So for 51 chapters, we read, God has been saying, shuv, return to me. And then here we are, we pick up in Jeremiah chapter 52. Now, Jeremiah 52 is a very interesting chapter for a couple of reasons. The first is that it's actually found almost verbatim in the book of 2 Kings, starting in chapter 24, verse 18. So if that's interesting to you, you can go and read that this week. Chapter 24, 18, verse 25 through 30, verse 30. And scholars believe these two accounts came from a shared historical tradition, and the editors use the same material. But here we are in Jeremiah 52, and it's very unusual. It's kind of a summary of what we've already studied, but then there's something at the end that gives us a message of hope. And so let's look at this together. The first thing that we notice is that God's warnings are an invitation to return. We've talked about this over and over this summer. Return, return, return. So starting in verse 1 of Jeremiah 52, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 11 years. His mother's name was Hamutal, daughter of Jeremiah. She was from Libna. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just as Jehoiakim had done. It was because of the Lord's anger that all of this happened to Jerusalem and Judah, and in the end, he thrust them from his presence. Now Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now, before we get into this idea of returning to God, let's just talk about this idea of returning. How many of you order something from Amazon and you think to yourself, well, if it doesn't work out or if it doesn't fit, I'll just return it, right? You see something online, you see it on Amazon and you order it and it comes in the box and it doesn't fit or it looks nothing like what it was depicted. And all we have to do now, it's so easy. We don't even have to box it up and put a label on it. You just take it somewhere and somebody at the store just does all of that for you. Well, that is not the kind of returning that God is talking about. It's not a simple item that we ordered off Amazon. We're talking about turning our hearts back to God. He's talking about, and that's exactly what God had been asking Zedekiah and the people of Judah to do. Verse 2 said, he, Zedekiah, did evil in the eyes of the Lord, just as Jehoiakim, that's his predecessor, had done. He was repeating that pattern of sin and rebellion. And Zedekiah had been warned, Babylon is going to come, and surrender was the only way to preserve his life and preserve Judah. And Jerusalem becomes surrounded, but Zedekiah, instead of surrendering, he tries to escape. But he is captured. And we come to probably one of the most horrific parts of the book of Jeremiah. We read that his sons, Zedekiah's sons, are killed in front of him, and Zedekiah's eyes are gouged out. And actually, the prophet Ezekiel had actually predicted this in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 13. I will spread my net for him, and he will be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylonia, the land of the Chaldeans, but he will not see it, and there he will die. How could Zedekiah make such a terrible decision? He had been warned repeatedly over and over and over again. But we have to remember, when God warns us, it isn't because he wants to push us away. His warnings are actually an invitation to return. Think about your vehicle, a car, and the warning lights that sometimes come on the dashboard. I don't know about you, but maybe you've ever had the warning light come on that you're almost out of gas, but instead of going to get gas, you just kind of push it a little bit further, and then eventually you run out of gas. Years ago, I had this old car, and whenever I would come to a stoplight or a stop sign, the indicator for the temperature gauge would just go so high. It would go from what is the regular temperature all the way up to like so hot in just a matter of seconds. And I remember I would sit there at a stoplight or a stop line, and I would literally be praying, Lord, please, please make it turn green. Please make it turn green, because I didn't want it to overheat, but I just kept ignoring it and I didn't do anything about it. And eventually the radiator blew and I had to replace the radiator and eventually the car. And that's kind of what we do with our lives. You know, the warning light is not our enemy. It's actually trying to help you. But spiritually, we do the same thing. We reject God's warnings. We keep engaging with friends that we know are not a good influence on us. Or maybe we do something dishonest at work and we get a warning sign. We get a warning light from a sermon we heard on Sunday or a verse that we read or maybe a friend that wants to help us, but we keep ignoring them. But that is not the end of the message. An opportunity, God gives us an opportunity to return to him. It's never the end of the story. No matter how much we ignore him, no matter how far we stray from the Lord, that is never the end, because God's warnings are an invitation to return to him. And if you have been running from the Lord, or maybe you've never made a decision to follow him, or maybe you used to serve him and you've fallen away, today is an opportunity to return to him. And I'm going to give us an opportunity to do that at the end of the message. So, second point is that our choices have consequences. So we're going to pick up in Jeremiah 52, verse 12. On the 10th day of the fifth month, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard, who served the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every important building he burned down. The whole Babylonian army, under the commander of the imperial guard, broke down all the walls around Jerusalem. So the Babylonian army had surrounded Jerusalem, and for 18 months they had surrounded the city, and there was a great famine, and finally they breached the walls. The people were starving, and they breached the walls. The city is destroyed. The temple is burned, and we read further in the text that all of these sacred objects that were in the temple were taken. Great, and the writer goes into great detail about these objects because they're so significant because they represent the presence of God, and that is now taken away. God's presence is gone. So God's people are taken into exile. But we have to remember this didn't happen suddenly. That God had been warning them for years and years and that there would be consequences. These results were the choices that had been repeated over and over and over again to disobey God. But it's important to remember that not every difficult thing that happens to us is a result of personal sin. That's not what Jeremiah is saying. But Scripture is very clear that our choices have consequences. In fact, Dr. Nicole Martin writes, "Not all suffering is divine judgment, but some suffering is the natural and just consequence of sin. And we must remember both truths." Years ago, in the first home that my husband and I lived in, our backyard was undeveloped. And at one point in time, we noticed like this little plant kind of up against the fence. It kind of seemed to be growing. It started out small and it kind of got big and then it got really big. And we were like, oh, that's so strange. We didn't plant a tree there. We didn't know what it was or where it came from. And all of a sudden, over time, actually several months and years, it became this really huge tree. But it started to push against the fence and was damaging the fence and damaging the property. And one day somebody came over to our house and a friend, and he said, oh, that looks like the tree of heaven. And I thought, oh, we didn't know what it was. I wonder what the tree of heaven is. That sounds lovely. And so I looked it up online, and this is what the Nature Conservancy says about the tree of heaven. The tree of heaven is a major problem because it is an aggressive, invasive species that destroys native ecosystems, damages human infrastructure, and serves as the primary breeding ground for a destructive insect. Though its name makes it sound divine, this devilishly invasive tree is no angel. And we can attest to this. It took an extensive amount of resources, manpower, time, money to get this tree uprooted. This tree was an absolute beast. But spiritually, I feel like we do the same thing. We continue to feed our anger, thinking it won't affect our relationships. We neglect our marriage and assume that things will somehow get better. We hide an addiction and we think that eventually it'll just disappear. We compromise our integrity and think that nobody will ever find out. But our choices matter. And if we allow a little weed to take root in our lives, it can eventually destroy us. So God keeps warning us. Stop. Turn around. Shuv. Return to me. Our choices have consequences, but don't wait for the consequences to get bigger. Return to him. Return to him today. And then finally, God leaves a glimpse of hope. Now here's where Jeremiah 52 gets really interesting. Because after all of this destruction, the chapter ends with something that feels completely out of place. So in verse 31, we read this. In the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the year Awal-Marduk became king of Babylon, on the 25th day of the 12th month, he released Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and freed him from prison. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a seat of honor higher than those of the other kings who were with him in Babylon. So after everything we've just read, the book ends with Jehoiachin, who had been in prison. He was Zedekiah's predecessor. He'd been in prison for 37 years. And all of a sudden, Al-Marduk, who was Nebuchadnezzar's successor, releases him from prison and gives him a place of honor. Why? It's so interesting. But it shows us, it's God's way of showing us that the story isn't over. The story isn't over for Judah. There is hope that's coming. And it reminds me a little bit of Star Wars, the very first Star Wars movie. So the very first movie is called A New Hope. And if you're a Gen X like me or kind of around that time, a little older, you probably believe that the first three are the best three. But the very first Star Wars movie, there is this scene that I feel like is so significant in the film. And if you don't know about Star Wars or all of the films, the evil empire is run by Darth Vader, and Darth Vader and his empire are taking over everything. And the rebels, the good guys, led by Princess Leia, it seems like there is no hope. It seems like the story is over, and they're going to be defeated by the evil empire. But all of a sudden, there's a scene in the movie, maybe a third way into the film, and Princess Leia, she sends this message to Obi-Wan Kenobi through R2-D2, who's a little droid, and she sends this message to him, and she says, "You are our only hope. You are our only hope to defeat the evil empire." And I feel like it's so significant when you're watching the film, because all of a sudden you realize, okay, the movie's not over, the story's not over, the empire is not gonna win, the bad guys, the evil guys are not gonna win. Good is going to prevail. And I feel like that's what God is doing here in the text. At the end of Jeremiah, these last couple of verses, God is saying to Judah, God is saying to us, the story isn't over. There's hope. This, that I am not done with my people. I have not given up on my people. I have not given up on you. There is hope. And maybe that's an important message for some of us here today. Maybe you came in this morning and you feel like it's the end. Maybe you've made decisions that you're ashamed of, or you're walking through grief, or your family is facing a crisis, or you've been praying for something for a long time and you don't feel like you've received an answer. God is saying to you that the story isn't over, that there's hope. God is still working even when it looks like everything is finished. God is not done. And even in judgment, God leaves this message of hope, and that hope comes in the person of Jesus Christ. The God who says, "Return to me," is the God who sent his son Jesus to make a way for us to come home. And as followers of Jesus, we read all of Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we see everything points to Jesus. And in fact, it's really exciting when you look at Jeremiah and the life of Jeremiah. There are so many similarities and comparisons to reflections of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jeremiah was called before birth, the way Jesus was foreknown before creation. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He wept over the city of Jerusalem, as did Jesus. They were rejected by their own people. They were opposed by religious leaders. They were sentenced to death. Jeremiah proclaimed a new covenant would be made between God's people and him and God himself. And through Jesus, that new covenant has been established. And then Jeremiah was the voice of God calling his people to return to him. And because of Jesus, he's made a way for us to return to God. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read this: "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation." I want to leave us today with two invitations. The first one is this: God is inviting you to return to him. Maybe you're holding on to some form of unforgiveness or anger. Maybe there is something that's controlling you, a substance that's controlling you, or addiction, something that's holding you back from living and walking in freedom. Or maybe you're just running from God, and somehow you found yourself here today. If you've been living on your own terms this morning, you can return to Jesus. You can surrender to him. After the service, I want to invite you, if you have questions about that, what does it mean to surrender your life to Jesus, or you're ready to do that, I want to encourage you to go to the prayer room and surrender your life to the Lord. We have a team of people that would just love to pray with you. And then secondly, God is inviting you to remember and reflect. You know, God's people forgot. Let's not make that same mistake. When life gets chaotic, we are tempted to believe that God has forgotten us. So today I want to invite you to write down three things that God has done for you. And there's a space in your program. So if you like to write by hand, I want to encourage you to do that. And if you want to do it digitally, you can make a note on your phone. But I want you to write down at least three things that God's done for you. Maybe a prayer he's answered. Maybe a time in your life where he intervened for you. Maybe he saved you, rescued you, helped you financially, restored a relationship. Maybe it's the time that you came to Christ when you made a decision to follow him. I want you to write it down. And then I want you to take it one step further. And I want to encourage you this week with your life group or at home with your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews. I want you to tell them the story. Tell them what you've written down. And I want you to continue to add to that list so we never forget what God has done for us. As I was preparing this week, I felt the Lord really challenged me. Tamiko, you don't share your story enough. Like, about how God saved you with your family, with your kids. And, you know, I was a really wild, rebellious adolescent, and I just ran away from the Lord all throughout my teenage years, just lived in rebellion and was just partying and just anything to do with God. I wanted nothing to do with it and everything to do with the world. And I remember God sending warnings to me through my youth pastor and my youth leaders. And this was before cell phones. So I didn't have text messages, but they would call me on a landline at my house, or they'd come knock on my door to come visit me. And I kept saying, no, 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 I'm not interested. But finally, several years went by and I finally gave my life to the Lord and surrendered to him. And maybe that's your story or something like that. It's an important story to tell and to keep telling. So I'm going to give us some time to do that, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to give you some time to write those things down, and then the worship team is going to lead us in a final song. So will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you that you are the God who calls us home, that you are the God who sends warnings repeatedly over and over and over again. Shuv, you keep saying to us, God, return to you, return to you. And so, Lord, you're calling us back to you today, and you're inviting us to remember all the things that you have done for us. And so, Jesus, we want to come back home to you, Lord. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.